we have a hymn that says, "Brethren, we have met to worship." I trust that this is our purpose here this evening, is to worship the true and the living God, who has been with us through all the days of our life. We trust he's with us here this evening in spirit, and we trust that he will continue to be with us. So without taking up any of the time that's allotted here for these good ministers, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Almighty, wise, eternal, and merciful God, as we bow here in thy presence, we bow with thankful hearts, we trust, for the many blessings we've received at thy merciful hand through all the days of our life. We thank thee for life itself. We thank thee for the great God of heaven, who has chosen and elected the people to live in heaven in immortal glory some sweet day, even though sinners we be here in this life, realizing that each of us has sinned and come short of the glory of God, and realizing it was left up to our works, there would not be one single individual saved in heaven in immortal glory beyond this life. But thanks be to this same true and living God, who has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world, who set up the church kingdom here in the way that should be conducted here in the world while we sojourn here in this life, who not only set up the church and set the example of how we ought to live one with another, but suffered, bled, and died, and paid the penalty for the sins of everyone that will ever be saved in heaven in immortal glory, realizing he's the only mediator between God and man. There is no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We thank thee, dear God, for this wonderful blessing that we have. And we thank thee, dear Lord, for the effectual work of the Spirit that thou hast bestowed upon this people that we're with here this evening. We trust that each of us that is here because of the desire given by the true and living God to assemble ourselves to try to worship thee in a way that is right and well-pleasing unto thee. So we thank you that we might thank you for this Spirit that leads us from day to day, not only day to day, but hour to hour, with a desire to try to follow the example that Jesus Christ set for us here in this world, that we might humble ourselves as he set the example even to washing one another's feet. And if we should live this way every day of our life, we would have a better world to live in. But we know that we're in a world of turmoil, where there's so many evil things going on, where there's so many put these things ahead of the worship of the true and the living God. But be thy will, dear Lord, our minds might be led by the effectual work of the Spirit in a way that we should live here. And if it be thy will, dear Lord, to be with this little church, that it might prosper and grow according to thy will. We ask thy blessings on each one, each member that compose its body, and the visitors that go in and out. Be thou willing, Lord, to be with Brother McIntyre and Sister Helen at this time. Realize they're not able to be with us, but we know that thou art able to be with them, to reconcile them to thy will, whatever their lot may be. But not only them, dear Lord, but bless the sick and the afflicted, the poor and the needy everywhere. Reconcile each of us to thy will, whatever it may be. And be thou willing, Lord, to be with Elder Turner as he come before us this evening, and Elder Burdett, that they might bring us a message that would comfort our poor souls here and give us encouragement to strive on toward the prize of the mark of the high calling in God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So not only this little body, dear Lord, but bless thy church and kingdom the world over. We know that there's so many being misled, but guide each of us and give us a desire to study thy righteous and holy word and follow the teachings of the Holy Bible rather than the commandments of man. So continue with this little service here this evening. That's all our duty and privilege to pray for everywhere, realizing we cannot acquaint thee with anything. We're so weak and feeble in mind, but thou knowest all things. So again, reconcile us to thy will, whatever it may be, and not through with us here in this low ground of sin and sorrow. Take us home with thee in that land that knows no end. These and all of the blessings we ask, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for his sake, amen.
Thank you. certainly appreciate the prayer that's gone forth, and a lot of us don't understand many times what a prayer truly is, and I've said it many times, but Brother was reminding me of it this evening, a prayer is a sincere desire of the heart. You come here sincerely desiring to hear the Word of God, and the matchless name of Jesus Christ proclaimed this evening, you won't go home disappointed. I have a subject on my mind. It's not particularly a delightful subject, but you know it's the Word of God. And that's the thing that thrilled me to death is, you know, a lot of people act like they don't want to preach the Word sometimes. A lot of people act like that they'd rather anybody in the world preach but them. But I'm going to tell you right now, I want to stand up for my God anytime I have an opportunity. And that's a God truth. I would that God's children love the church better than anything this side of heaven. I would that they'd rather give up their life than they had to give up their home in the church. I would that God would send a reviving throughout the nation and throughout the churches, that God's children would want to hold the banner of love of Jesus Christ up above all other things. I've got a couple of words on my mind, and one of them is, what shall I and will a man rob? You know, the 116th Psalm and the 12th verse says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I'm telling you what the truth this evening. If God's children could look around them, what has God done for you? What has God done for me? What would it take for me to serve God with every fiber in my body? What would it take? What else would God have to give me to serve him with any more than I should right today? Would he have to do some great miracle? Would he have to give me some great vast fortune? Would he have to give me a gift above all my brethren? Will I be satisfied with the position that God called me to serve him in? You know, I would that all of God's children was like David. He said it'd be enough for me just to be a doorkeeper at the house of God. I would that God's children, it wouldn't make any difference what their lot was in the kingdom of God, that they'd go about it with the greatest joy in the world. You know, David asked the question. He said, what shall I render unto God for all his benefits, or the Lord's what it says, for all his benefits towards me? I would every child of God in the kingdom of God today would sit down and think, what has God delivered me from, and how do I serve my God? Not my neighbor, not my brother, but how do I serve my God? What should I render to my God for what he's done? You know, I had a subject a couple of weeks ago on my mind, and it said, observe the great contradiction, or look at the great contradiction of Christ Jesus. You know, Christ came into this world, and he was a Lord of lords and a King of kings, but he became sin for us. You think about that. You think about what Christ done, and you know the thing that gets to me so many times, and the old devil gets to me, you know, he never did grumble. I don't care how hard it got, Christ never did grumble. You know, Christ said that we wouldn't be tempted above that, that we're able to overcome. He said with every temptation is a way of escape. But you know, most of the time we don't look so good. We run into a temptation and we decide we just can't help a thing. But David said here, he said, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You know, the only way you can escape the devil, I'm going to tell you right now, old Satan cannot stand anywhere Jesus Christ is present. You know, he has to flee when Christ is on the scene. You know, I would God's children would sit down and read the Word and understand God's Word. We were discussing at the house this evening. You know, people said, I can't understand. Brother, I'm going to tell you right now, if God's children need wisdom, God give you the answer. He said, you ask me, He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. He said, God giveth liberally. Now, he's not talking about just a sprinkling. He's talking about plenty. God will give us this thing. And you know, I probably preached this, and I may have preached it here before, but you know, it's a serious thing. God's household is, I don't even know how to go about describing it. But you know, I love my wife with every fiber in my body, and I want you to know I'm jealous over my wife, and I'm jealous over my children. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ is jealous over his church, and he's jealous over his children. And this is the thing that gets to me, is what kind of child am I? What kind of love and reverence should I give to my father? You know, Israel, God said, if I'm a father, he said, where is my fear? Where is my love? You know, God's house is a beautiful thing. We come in this household here and we absolutely make a vow. When we come into it and God has made his son Jesus Christ known to us by the Holy Spirit, we come forth and we deny the whole world, and we agree from that day forward to work, walk, and work in the whole counsel of God and godliness. And you know, we've made a vow. We've agreed to walk after Jesus Christ from that day forward. And you know, he even had this in Israel, and a lot of people said, well, the Old Testament's not particularly important. But I'm going to tell you right now that New Testament teaches me that all Scripture was given by the inspiration of God, and it tells me what it's good for. The New Testament teaches me that Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. So I don't know what they're going to do with the Old Testament, but you know, you can look back in the Old Testament and you can see the traps that Israel fell into. You can see the traps that the churches in the world today are falling into. You know, the people in the world today are doing everything and under the shining sun to get all the churches together, and they call it the World Council of Churches, so they can send peace throughout the world. And God said there ain't going to be no peace. There's not going to be any peace. And you know, Israel tried this thing. Israel tried to band themselves together, and they got further apart all the time. The thing here that gets to me is, what am I going to do in the service of God? What are you going to do in the service of God? You know, he asked a question in the book of Malachi. He said, in the 8th verse, 3rd chapter, he asked a question. He said, will a man rob God? Do you reckon anybody today would try to rob God? Do you believe he would? Do you believe God's children would rob God? You know, they do it. They do it today. And you know, Israel asked the same question. Israel asked. And the reason I'm preaching this text, not because I picked it. I didn't pick this text. I couldn't if I wanted to. The thing about this is God wrote this for our learning to keep us out of this trap. He said, will a man rob God, yet ye rob me? And he didn't say one or two of them had robbed him. He said the whole nation. Why do you reckon the government in this country is in such foul shape? Is it because of godliness? Is it? God has blessed this land. It's literally like a Canaan land. It literally flowed with milk and honey when we come to this country. Is it that way now? Reckon why? Do you reckon this country has departed God? We need to ask this question. Return. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, when have we robbed thee? You know, a lot of people said, well, I know this and that and the other. Said, what have we done? Where did we rob you? Where have we robbed God? In tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. You know, the world and most of the churches in the world, I'm not going to call their names. I don't have to. They think that the New Testament teaches tithes and such as they did in the Old Testament. But you know, most people don't even understand what the tithes in the Old Testament consisted of. Most people teach they give 10%, but that's the biggest lie that was ever told. They give 1/5 of the national wealth of Israel. They give 20%. That's what they give, 20%. Those that taught this thing have lost 10% all these years. If they'd have studied real hard, they'd have got 10 more percent out of the people. You know what you give to God? All that He's profited you. According as the Lord hath prospered you. That's what you owe. That's all you owe God. You know, I wonder sometime if God's ever prospered anybody. I wondered what God's really prospered me. What would it take? Would I have to have an excess? And you know, this is the mistake. A lot of people, we would discuss this. The elder and I did last night to a degree. Some people said, well, in 5 more years I'll serve God a little better than I did 5 years ago. We don't have tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised to me. God called me to serve Him today. God give me the grace to serve Him today with everything I've got. And you know, God requires everything I have. You know who that is? We sung a song a while ago. Who owned all houses, fields, and land? Who did it? It's God. He loaned it to you for a possession while you live on the face of the earth. You know, if a man dies tonight, he's not going to take anything with him. He ain't even got pockets in a shroud. They don't even make them in a suit where they bury a man. You know, I was utterly amazed years ago when I passed through a piece of land a man had owned. They said it was Tom Murphy's land, this and that and the other, and it was 1,006 acres, and I rode through there, and I said, that's the biggest lie I've ever heard. If it had been Tom Murphy's land, when he died, the land would have disappeared. There wouldn't have been anything there. Tom didn't take anything with him, but everything he left, the family fought over it. He never gave the church a dime. He never gave his God a nickel. Never gave a penny. God says here, if you haven't been profited, if God hasn't profited, you don't owe God a dime. You don't owe Him anything. But you know what? The blessing is in the doing. That's where the blessing is. It's not in the receiving. It said, ye are cursed with a curse. He said, the whole nation's done robbed him. Now he said, you're cursed with a curse. Where is God's praise? You know, we got more religiosity in this country today than any country in the world. We got less Christians. You know what a Christian is? It's Christ-like. It's just exactly like Christ Jesus. That's what it is. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you put your body under discipline. Christ said for you to kill the man that's within you, the fleshy part. He said, mortify the deeds of your body. He said, you put it to death. He said, you're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even the whole nation. He didn't say one man. Go home, read the 9th chapter of Daniel. You know when God turned their captivity out of Babylon loose, when Daniel got on his knees and he said, Lord, I and all the nation have sinned and come short. He didn't say that bunch of reprobates done it. He said, me and all the rest of them done it. He didn't point his finger at anybody. He never done that thing. It said, bring ye all the tithes. And you know what one of the tithes is? Your body. Your body. God bought the whole man. He didn't buy a part of you. He bought all of you. Jesus Christ didn't grumble and moan when God sent him here to pay for the sin. And you know, Jesus Christ left the pathway plainly marked. He didn't just sort of go in and out of the ditch and whatnot. He left the pathway that's straight. And He said, follow me. And you know what? He leads. We've got a captain that's never lost a battle. You know, the thing that thrills me to death is with God leading us, God for you, who can be against you? How would you like to try to fight one of God's children? How would you like to try to do one of God's children dirty? How would you like to take one of God's children alive? You know what you got to do before you can get to the child? You got to get through to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's what you got to do before you can get to the child. God told the Israelites when they started into the land of Canaan, He said, if you'll obey me, He said, I'll go before you and fight for you. You know, reckon what Joshua seen when he crossed the river Jordan. He saw Jesus Christ standing on a hill over there. He said he saw one standing over there, and he asked him, he said, you for us or against us? He said, I am come now the captain of the host of heaven. You tell me who the captain of the host of heaven is. Christ didn't only tell him he'd go before him, but he was there before they ever got there. God never has lost the battle. For we fail and we don't follow Jesus. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. He means all the things in his house, everything he requires. He said, bring all the meat in my storehouse and prove me thou herewith. All right, try God. God's not afraid to be tried. Brother said it last night, and I've done the same thing. I've tried to give money away, and I can't do it to save my life most of the time. I give the money away, and it looks like it just comes around a bend. There's a family in trouble up here, and I give one brother some money and turn right around, and another would stick it in my pocket. I couldn't even give it away. He said, if you think you can outgive God, try it. Try it. Try to outgive God. I'll tell you right now, if you'll do everything God told you to, he'll bless you. God said, you do these things and then try me. Don't you try God till you do everything he said. God wants to be tried. God said, you try me, but you do what I tell you to. He said, and prove me there, therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Brother, God will do it. If you don't believe it, you try him. But you do everything God told you to and then put him to the test. He never has failed. Never has lost the battle. He said he'll rebuke the devourer for you. You know the thing that gets me is in the first chapter of Malachi. I sort of preached backwards anyhow. First chapter of Malachi. It says in the first chapter in the sixth verse, it said, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. He said, you honor your natural father here on the earth, and a man that's a slave, he honors his master. He said, they do this. This is natural. You understand this. He said, if I then be a father, where is my honor? Where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. Now he's talking to the preacher here. He said, O priest that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Now here it comes. Don't get too hard on the preacher, because every one of you is priest and king unto God. You know, a priest, he has a little office there to perform, and a king has a little kingdom that he's over. You know what the kingdom is? Kingdom of God right in here. You know, a priest offers things. You offer your body a living sacrifice unto God, and you keep this kingdom under subjection, just exactly like God told you to. He said, ye offer polluted bread. That's nasty offering. That's what he's talking about, dirty things. You offer polluted offering upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. That's what I'm saying. What would it take for us to serve God? We don't seem to be satisfied. God's children don't seem to be satisfied with what we have. What else would he have to do for God's children to be satisfied? What else would we have to do for God's children to turn out and worship God in spirit and in truth and much love? What would it take? I wish they knew. I'm like the brother preaching the other night on the tape I got. I wish I had the power, but I just don't have it. I would that God had set the preacher's tongue on fire throughout the nation and sent a revival like we ain't never seen. I think what's happening now is God's purging the churches. I think the end time's on top of us, and I think God's preparing for the great battle. And I'm telling you right now, when God tried your faith as by fire, there's nothing but the faithful going to remain. It's hard. But you know they were hard on Jesus Christ. They wasn't easy on him. And it said, if you offer the blind, you know what a blind is? It's something that can't see. This is what we're up against today. You know, a lot of time we can't see what we're doing in the kingdom of God, and we don't understand it. I know we haven't been taught all together. But every child of God can read the Bible. Every child of God is taught of God. He said that the neighbor won't have to teach every man to know God, but God shall teach him. Every one of them. God said, I'll teach the big man and the little one to know him. All we're to do is to teach you, and the hard thing, we're supposed to shed light on them, bring life and immortality to life. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? Is it not evil? If you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Now you think about a lame and a sick excuse. You think about a blind excuse without reason. What excuse or what reason does God's children have? This is a serious thing. You know, it's real serious, and Christ is jealous over his bride. You know, there's a lot of things taught in the Old Testament about the Ten Commandments over there. That's not all the commandments there was. That's just ten that he covered the multitude with. Do you know that anybody, the bride of Christ, and I told a brother one time, I'm a bride. I'm the bride of Christ. I'm part of it. That sounds strange, but I am. The Bible said, no, you're not. You're married even to another, even to Christ. Sounds strange for a man to be a bride, but I'll tell you what, I can't be any part of Christ unless I am the bride, because I can't be the husband. He is. And you know, if I go out here and spend my time with the world, there's only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. If I'm fooling around out in the world instead of worshiping God, I'm playing a harlot. I'm playing a harlot. And you know, God get mad about that, and I would if my wife did. If my wife was supposed to be spending her time with me and she was off with somebody else, it'd make me mad. And I expect I'd do something about it. This is serious business. God's kingdom is the most precious thing on the face of the earth. God's people ought to stand up and shout for the very privilege to be part of it. You know what he said? When he said, "You all of this that you done offered blind and sick and lame and all," he tells you what you do with it. He said, "Offer it now to thy governor." He said, "You take what you give me and you try to give it to your governor. Try to please the government, what you give God, and see what the government does with you." He said, "You just try that on the government." You know what the government talked about? 10%. I expect the government gets more like 40% of what I make. The government absolutely gets about that much. He said, "You give the government now what you give me and see if it don't put you in jail." That's what he's talking about. He said, "You try to get your government to smile on you with what you give me." And God's much greater than the government. God's much greater than this. And he said, "You, if you think it's not serious," said, "you just take it. You understand these things. You understand what the government requires. You reckon God in heaven would require any less through his government than the government of the United States would? I don't think he would. I think he requires more of us. And I'm not talking about money altogether. I'm talking about time. The United States expects us to fight for our country when it gets in battle. It expects us to give our life when we get in battle. Does God require any less of us? Brethren, we're supposed to protect the kingdom of God with every fiber we've got in our body. That's what our job is. And it said, "Offer it now to thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? See the Lord of hosts." You know, that thing goes on. And the only reason a man would tackle a subject like this is so God's children won't fall in that category. You know, one time Christ healed 10 lepers. You know how many come back? One. When God sent the brethren into Canaan land, he sent 12 in there to spy the land out. How many of them come back with a report and knew and give God the proper praise up to? You know, multitude's not always right. God said there's always going to be a few, and a few to God's not just three or four neither. A handful of God, just not three or four. God's got a hand the size that he made it out the water of the ocean. That's how big God's hand is. You know, we've got a God that's been gracious to us. And God said that the church, that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. In other words, he said it's not going to overcome it. He didn't say it wouldn't give you trouble. He didn't say that you wasn't going to have trouble. But he said the old devil cannot overthrow the true kingdom of God. He can't do it to save his life. It was a promise Christ made. And you know what? God is not mocked. That whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. And you know, that's another favorite text of mine. And the Lord taught it to me because I need a little more teaching than other people did most of the time. And every time I gather a crop, I wonder when I sowed it. What we're gathering today in the kingdom of God is what has been sowed in the kingdom of God. It's what's been sowed in the past. And if we want a better crop, if we want the blessing more abundantly, we put more labor in the thing. That's what we do. I wouldn't leave you with a bad side of this without telling you how to get out of it. But if you want a beautiful home, you work at it. If you want a beautiful automobile, you have to work for it. You have to sacrifice for the better things in life. If you want the best church in town or the sweetest congregation in town, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of prayer. And you know, God is faithful. That's the thing that thrilled me. I don't care what God tells you to do.